Welcome into the Pursuit of Manliness podcast, where we are vigorously equipping men to pursue biblical manliness. My name is Jarrett Samuels. I'm the host of the podcast. Men, as always, I like to begin these conversations and episodes by thanking you for checking out today's show. You can listen to a lot of podcasts, but you're here. When you get the opportunity, check out the links in the show notes. Those are put there with you in mind. Perhaps there's something you want to check out, whether it's the website, our Facebook group, sign up for our men's retreat. But I want to remind you, this show is sponsored by Darkwater Woodwork, darkwaterkc.com. Right now, if you visit darkwaterkc.com, you are going to see an incredible St. Patrick collection there. I'm looking at St. Patrick beard oil, beard balm, soap, a t-shirt, etc. You put in today's discount code, which I'll give you in the midst of the podcast, and you will save 15% off of your order when you buy beard products from darkwaterkc.com. Now, I'll let you know, I was talking to Doug the other day, and he was talking about some of the scents and things that he wishes he could keep in stock. And I said, is it a lack of time, space? Like, what is it? And it just comes down to, there's just certain times of year when certain things can be available. Well, right now, you do not want to miss out on getting this St. Patrick scent. He told me it's one of the most popular ones that he puts out. So, men, make sure you visit the link in the show notes, darkwaterkc.com. It's time for today's podcast conversation. So I'm wearing the old-fashioned. Say, what are you talking about? I'm talking about out in the garage. I just told you, you can save money on your order, and I'm wearing old-fashioned today. And I thought, man, this really smells good. I think they all smell good, but I thought today that one just really hit my nose hairs in a special way. So I went to darkwaterkc.com. I said, let me see what we got here. And you could not get the old fashioned. I tell you that because, as I said in the promo part, limited time, you can get the St. Patrick's, which I heard is a hot item. So I can get in on that. But hey, we're looking at the triumphal entry. Easy for me to say, trying to get a paper out of the way here, and it's not working. Triumphal entry of Jesus. And when Jesus is making his way, we're making our way to the cross here, okay? Makes his way to the cross. You got this crowd. You got this crowd, and they start chanting, Hosanna, blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest. And I'll just tell you right now, Hosanna, there's your discount code. We don't want to forget this. Hosanna, this is the guy. This is the one we've been waiting for. You know what? Most of the time in Scripture, the crowd gets it wrong. When the 12 spies came back and Joshua and Caleb are trying to say, no, it's good. God wants us to go there. The other spies got the crowd stirring. The crowd was crying out, you know, you take us out in the middle of nowhere just to leave us for dead. The crowd demands a king for Israel. We don't want Eli's worthless sons. I mean, who could blame them? But they didn't want God to be their king either. So we want a king to be like everybody else. The crowd tries to make Jesus king by force. The crowd demands that Jesus is also crucified. So we're not going to buy in too much here in this crowd kind of saying the right thing because they're going to turn on him before the weekend's over here. The crowd thought Peter and the disciples were drunk. They had the Holy Spirit. The crowd stones Paul. The crowd becomes irrational. Logic, reason, all out the window. I think about the crowd when they were wanting to crucify Jesus. They said, let the punishment be on us and our children. Don't say that. Don't say those kind of words. But that's what they did. They were the crowd. They were caught up in everything that was going on. From the moment Jesus enters Jerusalem, no question about it, the conversation is, he is Lord. Now, every once in a while, there's someone that will ask the question, you know, why does Jesus tell people when he's healing them early on in the Gospels? Now, don't go tell anybody. This is the reason. Once it's revealed that he is the Messiah, or the belief in all these other people, the crowd, if you will, it stirs, and it stirs quickly. And people are watching. Jesus takes two unnamed disciples and says, go into town, get a colt that is tied, it's never been ridden, and come bring it back to me. He has the details all worked out, right? This riding on a donkey, if you will, is the declaration of his kingship. And it's fulfillment of prophecy. Zechariah 9:9, behold, your king is coming to you, righteous and having salvation is he, humble and mounted on a donkey, on the colt, the foal of a donkey. Our Lord lives his entire life from beginning to end in total submission to the Word of God. I want you to think about that. It's morning when I'm recording this, and you got the whole day ahead of you. I got my Bible in my hand. I'm going to spend some time in it today. I'm going to spend some time in it a couple different times today. We talk about close the gap between one communion with God to the next. But this book is more than a book. It's more than curriculum for churches. It's more than some book of history that we read and learn from. This is the living and active Word of God. And I shudder to think of all the times in my life that I failed to recognize it as that. It's a burden to get into it, and I got to read it, and I forgot to read it, and I got Bible study, and we got small groups, and how much of my life was spent avoiding this. I don't want that to be the story of my life. I don't want that to be the story of your life. That's why I do this on Fridays. I dedicate a third of the podcast of The Pursuit of Manliness to getting in the Word of God. Now, I know I've done this long enough, and I've been in ministry for a couple decades now. Not very appealing to a lot of guys spending time in the Word of God. But for those that it is appealing to them, that was a terrible sentence. For those who it is appealing, who are interested, who are willing to listen, get into it, we might just learn something about God and ourselves. And they brought the colt to Jesus, and they threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. And many spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut from the fields. Jesus gets on this young colt, and he begins to make his way to Jerusalem. In response to this, a whole bunch of people, the crowd, begin to spread their cloaks on the road. Some put leafy branches, kind of covering the ground. This is like rolling out the red carpet and shouting behind him. This would be quite a scene. I've told you before, I'm not a parade guy. I'm not a parade guy. I don't enjoy it. I'm watching on television, maybe at Thanksgiving. I don't know, maybe not. But I get the idea, and I get the idea if there's a purpose behind it. You know, the troops are coming back, throw them a parade. Let's get in on that, right? But every once in a while in a parade, there is like the famous person, the grand marshal, the celebrity that you got to come to town or whatever, and the crowd kind of stirs a little bit more when they come in. Well, Jesus is the parade. This is a festive time of celebration, and they are welcoming their king to their city. It's a way of Jesus proclaiming, I am your king. But it's not the way they think it's going to be. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest. He is going to make things right. You see, if you go back to 1 Samuel, I believe it's chapter 8, Israel demands a king, and they say, we want a king so that we will be like the other nations. They were never supposed to be like the other nations. They were supposed to be radically different from other nations. So other nations would say, what is going on with those guys? They live different. They worship different. They treat their spouses different. They treat their children different. They treat one another different. They hold certain days as sacred and holy. And there's something about them. Well, can I tell you what it is? It's our God. It is the God of the universe, the God of heaven and earth that created the land and the sea. It's our God. They didn't want to do that. And I think a lot of Christians try to dabble in both worlds. We want the favor and blessing of God without surrendering our obedience and allegiance to him. No, I want God's favor. I want his blessing, and I want him to save me from the consequences of my sin. But I also want the wiggle room to do whatever I want to do and how I want to do it and when I want to do it. And don't make me feel bad about it. Brother, it does not work that way. You can convince yourself it works that way, but it doesn't work that way. I think God's going to give me just a little more grace, a little more time, a little more. I'll eventually get around to doing the things that I know are right. But right now, I got my reasons, but I still want God's favor. Well, here comes the Messiah. And they're shouting and they're cheering. And Sinclair Ferguson says it this way. Think for a moment what Mark's record would convey to those who read it first. The Christians in Rome. No doubt many of them had seen generals enter Rome in triumph to receive accolades of victory. How stark the contrast between Roman glory and Jesus' humility must have seemed. How mighty and powerful the sword and political power by contrast with King Jesus. Yet we know his kingdom was established. While the glory that was Rome disappeared into oblivion, we know that what Jesus did in Jerusalem established a kingdom which would outlast all the kingdoms of this world and break into pieces every man-centered kingdom which sets itself against it. I think that's my point. Do you have a man-centered kingdom? Built yourself a world that's very convenient, very comfortable, very conducive to how you choose to live your life, how you and your spouse or you and your girlfriend or you and your buddies, wherever you want to live, and you have what you have and you like that. And I don't want to get too religious. I don't want to get too much of God's favor. Now, you see, as long as we're taking up breath on this planet, until our final breath, we will always be the direct recipient of God's mercy and grace. Just the simple fact you and I have oxygen shows that he's showing us an immense amount of grace. And I'm not trying to scare you into submission. We just want to tell the truth. Let's don't cheat God. So they're chanting, Hosanna in the highest. This is our guy. It literally means save, I pray. Psalm 118, 25, 26 says, save us. We pray, O Lord. O Lord, we pray. Give us success. That's what they're saying here. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. Sound familiar? It draws on number 6, 24 to 27. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. That song. There's a song. I don't know who sings it, but they took that idea and made it a song. I can hardly sing that song in church or in my car and not get a little emotional thinking about the words and everything. Prophecy was not being fulfilled, though, in the way they thought it was. They thought, well, we see it. We see the prophecy of the Old Testament. Well, they didn't call it the Old Testament. They saw the prophecy of Numbers. They see what was written in Psalms. They see what was written in Zechariah. They see, they're like, man, we're living it out. They're right. He's their king. But he's not there to purge Israel from foreign domination. He's there to purge them of their sin. You see, everybody loves the gospel. There's not too many people have a problem with Jesus until he addresses the sin problem. No problem with the gospel. I love it until it gets personal, right? It's a good message. Love Jesus. Did a lot of good things. Taught a lot of things. Healed people. Gave the poor people a few bucks. Patted kids on the head. Tried to right the wrongs. Had a good run, right? Now, they want a political military savior. But he's bringing what those people could never bring, eternal salvation. He cares more for your soul than your situation. You can pray and pray and pray, and you should pray. But never forget this, God cares more for your soul and the person's soul that you're praying for than that particular situation. You say, oh, get me out of this, fix this. I go back to what they prayed in the book of Acts. Give us boldness and courage. We didn't say take the problems away. Give us boldness and courage that we can continue to proclaim the word of the Lord. Acts 16, Paul and Barnabas show back up and they said, a door was open for the gospel to come in. How was the door open? Through adversity, through hardship, through death threats, through stoning, through persecution. All the things that we tried to avoid. They want a savior just for themselves. They want a savior just for the Jews. We like a savior just for us. He saved me. Good enough. We're saved to be a conduit of salvation. What's the ultimate goal? To come to know Jesus and help other people know Jesus. To be a disciple who makes disciples. To help as many people get to heaven as possible. That's the goal. Not to get a form of salvation or whatever salvation you have or whatever you've done or whatever you think you've done and then get fat on the labor of other people. We're saved to serve. We're saved to take the Great Commission to people. We're saved to show them the light of Jesus. We're saved, just like Israel was supposed to do, to be different from everyone else, but we like to get into the crowd. We said in the beginning, the crowd is delusional, irrational, and they have no logic. It never works. But we have, the enemy of our soul convinces us somehow that we can be in the crowd, but not quite the crowd itself. Well, what do you think the crowd is made up of? People who are in the crowd, but think they're just a little bit different than the person to their left or right, in front or behind. But yet they're all doing the same thing, walking directly to the edge of a cliff, just falling off one by one. He's a savior for the entire world, for any and all who surrender themselves to him, who go to him as, he is my Lord, he is my savior. You're now in charge of my life, John 1:12. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Acts 4:12, there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. 2 Timothy 2:5, there is one God, one mediator between God and men, Christ Jesus. The crowd wants salvation, but they don't understand what they're saying. They don't understand what they're longing for. Only Jesus can provide. But once they see what the provision looks like or what happens to Jesus, they're like, no, I don't want that. That's not what we thought. Have you ever done the same thing? So this is an interesting portion from Mark. He entered Jerusalem, went into the temple, and when he had looked around at everything, as it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. It's like he takes one look around, checks it all out, and says, all right, we'll be back tomorrow. That day ends rather uneventfully, wouldn't you agree? Tomorrow is going to be a much different day. Jesus enters Jerusalem, goes in the temple, looks things over, sees it's late, goes on with his disciples to Bethany. Do you ever think that night Jesus might, in his mind, kind of go back to the first time that he was in the temple at 12 years old, reading, talking, teaching, and now, years later, knows what's about to transpire? He doesn't walk into this temple that day as a tourist or some kind of gawking pilgrim, kind of looking around and marveling at all the, He is doing a survey of the situation, and he goes away to return the following day. He's going to curse everything that's going on in the temple. He's going to drive them away, if you will. He's going to cleanse the temple. And we've talked a little bit about this. Zeal for your house will consume me. Jesus had a great zeal for his house. What would happen if men of God had a zeal for the church, the bride of Christ? I don't need the church. I can do the church. I can do church at a campground. I can do the church in a boat. I can do church at a ball field. Semantics. Yes, you can have church. You can connect with God, you can connect with other believers, but that's not the church. That's not the functioning role of the church. Do you have elders at the ball field? No, the coach and the umpire aren't the elders, right? Do you have people using their gifts, talents, and abilities for the kingdom of God at the ball field, at the campground? No, semantics. Yes, church is not just four walls on Sunday, but that is part of it. Marriage isn't just a license and a wedding band either, but it's part of it. Marriage isn't just sleeping in the same bed, or raising kids together if the Lord gives them to you, or, you know, having a house together, or whatever, all the other things going to marry. Well, you can just pick one or two things. So, well, I can be married and never live at my house. For a minute, you might be able to pull that off. We need men who have a love and a zeal for the church. I'll tell you this, men who have a love and zeal for the church, as Jesus had a love and zeal for the church, they are not in a crowd. They do not blend in. When a conversation comes up in a meeting about, hey, someone who could or what, their name comes up first. And I think that's why some guys don't want to have a zeal for the church. They're afraid they might have to do something. But we need them. We need them. The church desperately needs them. So Jesus, the refining fire, he's arrived. He's going to start to purify everything that is putrid. He's going to start his work with the temple. He's going to finish his work with the cross. He acts justly. People demand justice. You find it in Christ. Our King came. He was there. And he is going to return again. But I'll tell you what. The next time he returns, he's not riding a donkey. There's no branches. That's not going to happen. The next time he returns, they will not get their hands on him. He came to die. He's going to reign. He came on a donkey. Next time, a warrior horse. First time, humble servant. Second time, exalted king. First time in weakness. Next time in power. He came to save. Next time he comes back, he comes to judge. Love, first trip. Wrath, second trip. First time he was here, we had the messianic secret. Deity was veiled, right? Next time, not so much. First time, 12 disciples. The next time he comes back, an army of angels. First time he's here, he's bringing peace. Next time, he's making war. Listen, I'm not trying to tell you anything that's not already in Scripture. They gave him a crown of thorns. He'll have a crown of royalty. The first time we know him as the suffering servant. The next time, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. You got time for that guy? You got zeal for that guy? You got time to be in his word? Can you be obedient to him? You say, I'm still not sure. Then you don't know Jesus. You don't know Jesus. Only a few the first time bowed before this great king. The next time, every knee will bow when he comes back. Are you looking in anticipation, or are you hoping, hopefully not today? Are you ready to meet Jesus? Because perhaps today, today could be that day. Maybe it won't, but we don't know when it is. But I'm going to tell you right now, the Jesus that was here the first time is quite a bit different than the Jesus who will return again. So I'd make sure, above all, get right with him. And don't get right with your version of Jesus. Get right with the biblical version of Jesus. Then you'll have understanding. Then you'll have the application to live in obedience and reverence towards him. And then you'll have a heart and a conviction to try to help some other people do the exact same thing. So men, thank you for listening. Thank you guys for watching, subscribing, sharing the show, all the things. Let's keep pursuing Jesus while we're pursuing biblical manliness. Amen. Talk to you in a bit.